Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Saha Viryankara Bhavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so papers on Thursday. The computer is coming today. So. Okay, so we are reading from the 10th chapter about Shravanam. Any questions on that? Everything was heard, everything is understood.
Prabhu, one question. Shravanam is the most important place, because by hearing your transcendental knowledge, then all the inauspicious elements are gradually left. Is there, we are studying techniques of hearing, right? That's a chapter.
Yes.
So, is there any specific advice, extra advice that we know?
See, very much into detail, then we will go when we study Shri Hanam Chintamana. That will be, you know, on its own study. Because, the Shravanam, we say is the most important, you know, but why? Because it is the base of all others. Now, all the other, you know, processes develop from Shravanam. Same like all the other stages, you know, develop from Shraddha. So faith is base of, you know, all the further developments. Shravanam is also the base of all other processes, because it is the base of education. But to do kirtan, you have to first, you know, listen. No, anything which you do, you have to first listen to be able to properly absorb, utilize the knowledge, contemplate, and then you can apply it. Now, how you apply it, what you do with it, then this is the process. There are some techniques which you can do, you can apply. And it's mainly about how you utilize your mind, your consciousness, in while listening. So, therefore, see, in the Shri Hanam Chintamani, there is described then how to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and what's chanting with offenses and without offenses. So you have the division into chanting in Nama Parad, then Namabhas, and Shudhanam. So we may say, no, it's a technique. How you chant so then you don't commit offenses. Then how you chant that you fully focus on the holy name. So that specifically in Harinam Chintamani is described. And if you have some specific difficulty with one of the offenses, then it also gives you the remedy for how you overcome this. So this is the purpose of actually education, that you analyze what's the problem. Then you educate yourself about the problem. You educate yourself about the techniques, how to overcome, and you apply it, so then you overcome that. So these are the techniques. So now, what techniques means, what we want to do, we want to chant Shuddhanam. We want to come to the stage of Shuddhanam. But if that cannot be done, at least it should be Namabhas, which is like the reflection of the real Shuddhanam. But the Namabhas can give anything. Except, no, it cannot give Krishna Prema. But a person who chants the Namabhas can very quickly purify himself, can come to the state that he can decide or he can start chanting Shuddhanam. Because the Namabhas very quickly removes all the anarthas, unless we hold on them. But Namaparad, then that's not recommended. So Namabhas is very much glorified in all the scriptures. Namabhas, yes, but Namaparad, no. So techniques, they are there, like, no, okay, Srila Prabhupada gave us a technique how to chant. So it's the, utilize the hearing, utilize the sense of touch. You can utilize it, the sense of sight. Even smell you can utilize. If you are chanting in some environment where the incense are lit, nice flowers are the decoration, so then it will be naturally very much more, the ambience will be much greater, much more conducive to the chanting. So all this you can consider, this is the technique, how we do it. Because if you create a sattvic environment, then it will be much easier to do activities in sattvaguna. And this is not to say that the holy name is dependent on the environment, but we are. We are conditioned. So until we are on the state that we can always chant the holy name and never do anything else, then until that moment we are conditioned, and therefore the environment will affect us also. So association, all the devotees chanting together, it's much more conducive than thinking that we can chant ourselves and just fall asleep and, well, nobody is there, nobody sees, nothing happens, no, who cares? So all these together applied, then we get the benefit. And the benefit is that we will be able to actually apply it in, on anything else, because we know the principles. So that's the purpose of it. So now we may learn about techniques, know what to do, how to do. But then ultimately is to realize the holy name. Now through the holy name, then the goal of realizing the holy name actually is to realize the name, form, qualities and pastimes. This all is brought by the holy name. So the real goal of chanting the holy name is to understand, to develop the rasa. That's the real conclusion. the devotees who did develop the rasa, they found their original position. Then they don't really bother how was it done or what was done. For them, at that moment, no, they found their lost relationship. So after that, the techniques are not really anymore applicable. But until that point, then yes, they are. But not because of the holy name, because of us being conditioned. So we can condition ourselves such a way, so then we can remove our conditioning. It's like removing the thorn with the thorn. But after that, you don't keep the other thorn, no. What if? You just throw them both. And you are free of the thorn. So we have to not develop the detachment, not to be attached to something just because it's ours, or we feel it's ours, or we had it, it's with us for so long, I cannot give it away. These things will be very problematic at one point. So it's not just the bad things, which we consider bad, by the way. Somebody else may consider them good. But it's also the things which are good, are beneficial for us. But for us being attached to them, still it will keep us in the material world. Yeah. So in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd chapter, verse 15, it is stated, a person who desires unalloyed devotional service to Lord Krishna, who is praised by transcendental sound vibrations, should always hear about his glorification and transcendental qualities. This will surely kill all kinds of inauspiciousness in the heart. Just hearing. I think Srila Prabhupada said that. Even if somebody doesn't understand the language, you can still go and sit and hear Krishna Katha. And even if he doesn't comprehend actually what's being spoken, he's still being purified. That's the power. Expecting the Lord's mercy. In the 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse 8, it is said, my dear Lord, any person who is constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon him, and who goes on suffering the resultant actions of his past misdeeds, offering you respectful obeisances from the core of his heart, is surely eligible to become liberated, for it has become his rightful claim. Now, we have to understand, here is any person who is constantly awaiting your causeless mercy. That means he is active. Because relationship means there's activity going on. And that's activity which is beneficial for the relationship. So, we may see, okay, Jagai and Madai, they didn't do much for their relationship with Krishna, and then still they got the ultimate mercy of the Lord. Well, first it was a fast time. Second, yes, it was causes mercy of the Lord. Now, how many devotees do we know about receiving causes mercy? So, those devotees who want to receive the mercy of the Lord, then they do activities which are beneficial for the relationship. So therefore, chanting of the holy name, associating with the devotees, staying in the holy dhamma, reading, hearing, worshipping the deities. So all these are done because they are awaiting the mercy of the Lord. And then, yes, as it is said here, that because of that, then this is their rightful claim. But now, the devotee, he doesn't take it as a rightful claim as such. Well, see, like in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, then he did that because he was expecting something back from his austerities. And then when he got the opportunity, he got what he wanted, then he understood and he was feeling bad about it. So Vaishnava, he is not doing the devotional service, he is not doing his austerities, anything. He is doing it to please Krishna. So that's the Uttama Vaishnava. Now, to be able to do that, then there must be the understanding of my position as a servant of the Lord. So then the Vaishnavas, they do it to please the Lord and not for their own sake. Though, in the beginning stage, it can be that they are doing it because they want something. Even the Shastra recommends, if you really want something, be any kind of materialistic desire, still approach the Lord. Now, you may feel bad, because why would you approach the Lord for some small little things? But then how will you get them otherwise? If you cannot give it up, then somebody has to give it to you. And like a small kid wants something, and then he has no money, he cannot do anything, so he has to approach his father. Because he is the one who can provide. Now, if he, if he keeps his ego, I am not going to ask anybody, then okay, he has to wait until he grows up, and who knows if he is going to get it or not. But then if he humbles himself and say, well, I'm unable to get it, please can you get this for me? So that's one way. Otherwise, if you can, I cannot get it, so I don't need it, and better I do something else. So that's another option. You can surrender to the Lord and, we don't want to be here in the material world. We don't need anything from here. So the only thing I want is a service unto your lotus feet. And then we can be much better off.
I was just thinking that if you feel bad about going to the Lord and asking for some small thing, then that means you're already progressing.
Okay, yes. But you may also feel that, depends on the consciousness at the moment, right? You may not want to go to anybody because you are the best.
Yeah.
So you are the doer of everything. So why would you ask anybody? Yeah, yeah. Right?
I don't need anybody's
help. I can help everything myself. I don't need anybody. So therefore, but even that, once we humble ourselves so much that, I cannot do it, please, can you help me with this? So that's, it's a step forward. But many times it reverses back as soon as we don't need the Lord again. How tolerant Krishna is. How compassionate. So many times we had rejected him, actually. Okay, he's definitely the most compassionate.
In Bhagavad Gita, we have seen that we have been here for millions of lives, billions and trillions of lifetimes.
Yeah. And each lifetime, we are, rejecting him.
Yeah, we're failing every time.
And still, he is always with us. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just a matter of the angle of perception. No, like we look at, say, for example, like Prabhupada Maharaj. For us, it's a great austerity. Seeing how he does it, what he goes through, it's a great suffering. But from his point of view, he didn't feel anything. He didn't feel anything in the fire. He didn't feel anything when he was among the snakes. He didn't feel any fear. So for him it was because he was so absorbed in the thoughts on the Lord. So he didn't feel anything. He only felt bliss because he was with the Lord. When Haridas Thakur was beaten up 21 times, he was beaten up publicly, for that he, as a Muslim, was actually converted to Hinduism, Vaishnavism. But he never felt anything. And why? Because Krishna protected him. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took it for him. How compassionate the Lord is. We cannot even imagine what Krishna can do for us. There is no way how we can repay anything which Krishna actually is doing for us. But same like mother takes care of child, the mother is not really expecting that it's going to be repaid back. She is the mother, so she is acting in that capacity. So she takes care, and that gives her the power to do so many things. And it, for anybody else, it is very austere. Nobody else can do it. But for her, it's not such austerity because she does it with love. So that's the relationship. She, as a mother, she gives. No, she reciprocates with the child certain way. And when the child reciprocates with the child, then she can go on and be the mother more and more. That's the relationship. But if the child will not reciprocate with the child, then the mother cannot really show the full potency of the motherhood. But that's between the child and the mother. That's the relationship. Anybody else observing it may not understand. So what's between us and Krishna, then we have to realize it. We have to put into it our energy. We have to put our effort. We have to do something for Krishna. Sacrifice. To show that we actually are sincere, we mean it, we want to develop the relationship. But as long as we are not willing to do it, or just keep saying that we are willing, but we are not willing, then it's not going to work. But Krishna will not give up on us. He will continue, being constantly with us, wherever we are. But he is waiting. This statement of Srimad Bhagavatam should be the guide of all devotees. A devotee should not expect immediate relief from the reactions of his past misdeeds. No conditioned soul is free from such reactionary experiences, because material experience means continued suffering or enjoying of past activities. If one has finished his material activities, then there is no more birth. This is possible only when one begins Krishna conscious activities, because such activities do not produce reaction. Therefore, as soon as one becomes perfect in Krishna conscious activities, he is not going to take birth again in this material world. A devotee who is not perfectly freed from the resultant actions should therefore continue to act in Krishna consciousness seriously, even though there may be so many impediments. So here, we see that the reactions, they don't immediately disappear. So we should not expect. No, it's the reaction, if we didn't learn still that we did something wrong, we didn't learn our lesson, then Krishna may as well not let the reaction happen, because the reaction will teach us how to do things right, how to have the right consciousness performing the activity. If we already learned, then Krishna may not have the activity, the reaction happen. There's no need for it. It's up to his discretion. So, and he will do, Krishna will alter the reactions through his yoga maya potency for those devotees who are very advanced. So the devotee may or should suffer some reaction for his past activity, but he may not, because Krishna desires so. And that may be in the negative sense, but it can be also in the positive sense. But because the devotee is very advanced, he doesn't mind. He doesn't really care. No. Devotees who are not so advanced, then they may question. They may even blame Krishna for, why did I get this? Why I didn't get this one? I am a devotee. I deserve this. Who says so? If you deserve it, Krishna will arrange it. But because you don't know how to take care of it. Like money, right? This is a very... money can change most of the people. You can have somebody poor, nice person, he gets rich, and he becomes completely different person. So if devotee is behaving nicely, having nice consciousness when he is poor, so then until he is purified, then Krishna may not arrange that he will get rich any soon. But if Krishna sees that such a devotee actually is free of any attachment, and then he will not get bewildered by riches, then he may just get as much money as nobody can ever imagine. For Krishna, this is not a problem. Like the example of Puntarek Vidyanidhi. no, very rich zamindar, sitting on a golden throne, not having anything which he can even imagine, and he was a pure devotee of the Lord. Or that disciple of Ramanujacharya, the wrestler, who was wrestling in king's court. He was, you know, really amazingly rich. But he was not at all attached to the riches. So that one night when the brahmacharis come and, you know, want to steal the gold from his wife, then they get the gold ornaments from one half of the body, but she wanted to offer the other half also, so she turned around, but they got scared and ran away. So she got chastised by the wrestler. Why did you move? If you wouldn't, they would take all. If they wouldn't need it, they wouldn't come. So, no, that was our nice, humble offering to give it. That's the mood of a Vaishnava. So they don't consider anything of their own. It's only us, you know, when we are conditioned, then we are just hoarding on, you know, what we have, and we wouldn't, you know, share with anybody. That's mine. That's the problem.
In this pastime, his wife says that she moved because she wanted to give the other side.
Okay, the pastime. See, it was like this. Well, there were ashram, and the sannyasis staying in the ashram, and there was the wrestler with his wife staying at very opulent house given by the king. It was like a small palace. And then somebody asked, I don't know who, asked Ramanuja, who is his best, most dedicated disciple? And he said, the wrestler. He's the best. And then, how is that? There are so many sannyasis, no, they are very austere, no, they are, no, very, you know, paka and like that. And then he's just a sense enjoyer. He goes, wrestles, he enjoys, what is this nonsense? No, the sannyasis must be. Okay, I'll show you. So then he sends brahmacharis. No, his brahmacharis. And he sends them. Okay, go at night into the sannyasi ashram. And then you rip few coppins. Just rip them. And then you go and hide and watch. So then they do it. And then they hide behind the window and just watch. So in the morning they get up and they are going to dress and they find the coppins and they are ripped. So who did this? You did this? And then they fight. They were fighting over ripped coppins. So then the brahmacharis they saw, they came back and then, no, they told Ramanujacharya. Okay, so the next night, the wrestler, he goes to the court for wrestling. So his wife is going to be at the house. So you go and steal all the ornaments from her body. So then they did, no, and then they were stealing. And then she turned around, but they got scared and then they just jumped out, but they were waiting. So and then husband comes home and she goes greet the husband, and then she had only half the ornaments. And he asked, what is this? No, where is the other half? You see, no, there were the brahmacharis from your Guruji ashram. They came and they started to steal all the ornaments from my body. So I let them, and then after they took everything, so I turned around so then they can steal also the other half. No, but they got scared and ran away. You see, you foolish woman, if you wouldn't turn around, then they would steal it anyway. But this is because you think it's yours. No, that's why you scam them. No. They wouldn't come if they would need it. So means, no, they, you could have stayed, they would take everything, and then they would get what they actually wanted. So that was his mood. So then he, again, the brahmacharis, they reported to Ramanuja, and you see? That's the difference. So that's the mood. So the mood is not really in the austerity or that's all external. But what's inside? What is our dedication? Why are we not performing devotional service? Where is the relationship? That's the important thing. Yes.
I have a question about the relief from reactions or past misdeeds.
Mm-hmm.
So in the beginning, we were reading that there's the different types of reactions, manifest, non-manifest.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking of one example, I was contemplating. May I say it?
Okay.
Like if there's a blind person, and he becomes, you know, completely absorbed in the emotional service, so he still has that reaction. So does that person ever stop being blind? Like, does that reaction go away?
Well, you know, Aurangzeb, it's one of the Mughal emperors, and he was very, very bad. He was the one who broke Govindaji temple. So then when he came to to see Srinadji. Then he was very, very disrespectful. I think he even killed some of the pujaris. No, and he became blind. So, and then he didn't know what to do. So Srinadji, he appeared in his dream, and then he said, well, you can only become, get the sight back if you beg for forgiveness. So he came now again, but is very humble, not begging for forgiveness. So then Srinadji, then he said, well, no, two conditions. Then, one, that you will give me that he had like a very big diamond in his crown. So he wanted the diamond. And second, that with his beard, he would wipe all the steps of the temple. So he had to do that. Because what else he could do with full faith. And then he got his sight back. And after that, as I know, that he didn't do anything foolish like that again. Now there are... Yeah, there are the other... Who was that? Was another... No, Brahmachari. He was... studying under his guru, and then he used to go also for grazing cows, and then one time he ate something, some leaves of a tree, and he got blind. So then with this full faith he said to his guru, well, you see, I ate these leaves because I was hungry. No, I could not tolerate. What can I do now? Then he told him, well, you pray to Ashwini Kumaras. No, very sincerely. And they can revive your eyesight. So again, he did, and then he got his eyesight back. So faith can do amazing things. It's just a question of how you apply it. So even a person who didn't see can see again. Even if you don't have faith in what the Shastra says, but you can see now the signs, they can return even sight to somebody who is blind from birth. Progressing. So somebody can have faith in the science more. But you have to have the faith that it's going to affect you. So it's all possible. So even a person who is blind can regain the eyesight back. There was also one devotee who he was also blind, and he was begging Lord for the eyesight. And then Krishna, he gave him the eyesight. But when he saw how everything is degraded and how everything is bad, he didn't want it. Again, it's sort of attachment. Bilwa Mangal Thakur, he made himself blind because he understood that because of his eyesight that he was so attracted to the prostitute instead of to Krishna. So he blinded himself, then went to Vrindavan and became one of the greatest devotees. So blind or not blind, it's not really an obstacle if one can become devotee or not. It's something which, yes, we take it as a common thing. Everybody sees. But those who are blind, then they either take it, I cannot do anything, or they find way how to express the devotion without even the eyesight. People who are blind, they can develop hearing very nicely. So there is no limit if blind devotee or a devotee who sees which one is better. It's not a question. So if somebody is blind and then becomes devotee, he can become great devotee, disregarding that he may not see anything. So it's not a consideration. But if Lord sees that it will be beneficial for him to have the eyesight back, then he will do that.
Chaitanya was going to see Jagannath and he couldn't go, he was holding the eyesight and he's crying.
And then
Jagannath appears in his dream and says, you go out to the Ganga, take a bath and the Lord will hit your hand. In that moment your eyesight will come back.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah. Yes, so there are so many instances which the leper we're talking about. Leprosy is a disease which before they did not know how to cure it. And the leper just once embraced with Rupa Goswami and he was cured. I mean, we can consider this as a mythology or no, may just not believe it. But Shastra says that, so it doesn't really matter on our opinion, what we may think. These are facts. So that way, you know, there is really nothing which we need to doubt. And it purely depends on us, how much faith, you know, we develop to the Lord. Lord can take care. Prahlad Maharaj, because he has full faith in the Lord, then he was fully dependent on the Lord, then Lord fully took care of him. So there was no danger for him, even though it looked so dangerous. Draupadi, then she was not so dedicated at that moment. So therefore Krishna could not help at that moment. When she was fully surrendered, when she saw, I have no power to hold, I cannot resist these people here, they are much stronger than me, then only person who can help me is Krishna. So she stopped holding, and then she fully surrendered to the Lord. Then Krishna can come and help. With us is the same. How much do we want Krishna to help us? What do we want Krishna for us to do?
Prabhu, in that certain sense of Draupadi, how would we define seven?
How would we define?
Define seven.
Well, it's, see, as long as she was holding that, I can protect myself. Then Krishna, if he wants to, he can do anything. But he wouldn't interfere. So let him. Maybe yes. So it's not, he doesn't need my help. Krishna is not really interfering this way. But if there is somebody who is fully asking for Krishna's help, Krishna is there to fulfill anything the devotee wants. Like we were talking about the lady carrying the bundle of wood. No. She was foolish, but she was so sincere that Krishna he wanted to help. That she asked, not put the bundle back on my head, that was foolishness. But Krishna is there. He can help anybody anytime. There was one nice story. It was a lady and she had a boy. And the husband died, so she was alone. And now the boy was of age to go to Gurukul, but she didn't have any money, anything, not to clothes and everything. The education, no, it's free, but clothes and like that. So she was working very hard, but he was going every day, and he had to go through forest, and he had to go quite some distance. Now she was afraid. She could not take him there because she had to spin yarn to do stuff to sell to get the money for him. So that way, but she was a Vaishnavi. So she prayed to Krishna, please Krishna, find some way. And so she had full confidence. So then the first day comes, and then she let him go through the forest alone, because she was so confident Krishna will help. So and then, when he goes, and he comes back. And then she asked, how was the first day? He said, it was wonderful. And I found a friend, in the forest, and then he took me through and he brought me back. So she was very thankful to Krishna. She knew, it's Krishna. And then like that it was going on for the whole year. And then there were just playing and just having a nice time. So he became his friend, and it came to the at the end of the year, then everybody is giving gifts to the teacher. So then some boys, very rich, so then they were given expensive stuff like that. But he asked also the mother, so please give me something so I can also give it to the teacher. And then she didn't have anything. Nothing to give. So, okay, ask your friend. He will provide. So then he asked him, okay, give me something, you have something which I can give to the teacher. So he just gave him a pot of yogurt. And so then, among the riches, and then he just gave him a pot of yogurt. And he felt, it's nice. But he felt kind of like a little offended, or not offended, a little like awkward. But he still felt happy, the boy that he could give something. So alright. So they forgot about it. And then prasad, so everybody sat down eating. So they would distribute the yogurt. So they would serving, and it's always full. So then it's delicious yogurt. And as much as they serve, it's full. So they were serving in the big pots, it's always full. So then the teacher was suspicious. Where did you get it from? My friend gave it. What do you mean? Your friend is a magician or what? No, I go every day with him, through the forest. He takes me here from my house. You are lying. No, I'm not. So come. And then, he took everybody there to the forest and not here. So where is your friend? Oh, he is not here. See, you are a liar. And then, Krishna, a voice, he said, I am not appearing, my non-devotees, not those who are not my devotees. But, that pot I gave, to this boy. And then, I am Krishna. And then he just disappeared. So now everybody understood that actually, the boy is pure devotee. So then they bow down to him. And there was another instance here happening in Bengal. I forgot who was that. It was one great Vaishnava, and he would, he had the deity of Krishna, and then he would offer prasad every day, and then one day he had to go somewhere out, for some traveling. So his son would stay at home, so he told him, before you eat anything, offer it to the Lord. And the boy said, okay. And then he left. So then, the boy, he cooked something, put in front of Krishna, and eat. And then, he comes back, and then he didn't need anything. No, I cannot eat this. No, first you have to eat. So then, again, he comes back, nothing. So then, he was getting hungry. So he said, what to do? You have to eat. I also want to eat. And I cannot eat if you don't eat. So then, nothing happened. He's with the stick, he comes. Hey, you eat! It's a video. So then, Krishna, and he just ate. Okay, leave something for me. He ate the. And that was going on for, a few days. They become friends. And then the father comes. So did you offer, everything to the Lord first? Yeah, every time. He eats very nicely. And then, Yeah, no, I feed him. What do you mean you feed him? No, just put it there, right? And then, no, by sight, no, Krishna is. No, he eats a lot. What do you mean? You are lying. This is not true. No, it cannot be. So then, no, I'm not. Okay, I'll show you. So he cooked. No, he offered it to Krishna, and then, okay, take, eat. But then he wouldn't eat. And then, so he starts crying. No, you want, no, you want to see, no, you want to think that everybody will think now that, I'm a liar or what? Like before, just come and eat. So, and then, but, he wouldn't, so then the father was, yeah, you're a liar, no, I believe you. And then, so he, very desperate, was, no, praying, no, please, Krishna, no, come and, no, take. And then, when he was so desperate, actually Krishna comes, no, and he puts him on his lap, the boy, and he eats, he feeds the boy, no, and, so then the father, oh, Hare Krishna. So there are many instances which devotees, they have very, very close reciprocation with the Lord. And that's due to their own past activities. So if we have faith in the Lord, then that gives us strength to be detached from the material. As soon as we become detached from the material platform, then Lord, He can take care of us fully. He is hesitant to take care of us fully because He is not sure what reaction it will create, because we have the free will. So if He takes from us something, are we going to appreciate it or blame? And Krishna doesn't want, no, that we blame Him, because that will take us away from Him. He is really, for Him doesn't really matter. But what matters for Him, it's our position. So that's why He is sometimes hesitant.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.